1 Timothy, the 6th chapter this evening. While you're turning, I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, we count it a privilege to come into your house. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your watchful care throughout this week. Already, Lord, there's been many things you've steered us through, around, and taken us through some things. Each one in the congregation, we know you've been faithful to. We also know there's many burdens. Now help us, Lord, as we look into your word tonight, that we might be refreshed in our mind and be reminded that we might strive to make heaven our home. Help us, we pray, in the delivering of your word. We need your spirit tonight, not only in anointing the speaking, but anointing the hearing, Lord, that we may profit by your word. We ask it in Jesus' name, and amen. You know, it seems to me that it's easy to get distracted and live in this Christian life. It's easy to lose our focus. You know that? It's not because we live in a vacuum, nothing going on. It's because there's so many things going on. You know, things this life tend to draw our attention away from the things of God, tend to, in fact, sometimes distort our view of the things of God. We can get caught up in pursuits of this life or just overwhelmed with the living of this life. It's easy to get distracted in our Christian life. I see, you know, Satan, if he can't keep you completely from the things of God, tries to get you in one ditch on one side or the other once you get into the things of God, to kind of try and cause us to fall into error while maintaining some profession of Christianity. And I want to look at that tonight. I entitled the thoughts tonight, Follow After These Things. Follow After These Things. But thou, 1 Timothy 6, chapter 11th verse, 1 Timothy 6, chapter verse 11 and 12. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hath professed a good profession before many witnesses. In this text tonight, we're instructed to pursue or follow after certain things. The instructions we have, things in life that we should be focused on. These are the things we should follow after and pursue. Make our main goals in life, not only in our life, but in our Christian life. The immediate context of this verse, I'm going to read it. You want to back up a few verses to the third verse. This is talking about people who had lost their focus. And these are religious people. These were people who were in the church where Paul was writing to Timothy about. Okay, these were not the out pagans. They were people within the church. 1 Timothy 6:3 said, If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting on questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. But godliness with gain, godliness with commitment, contentment, boy. Let's start over with that one. Godliness with contentment is great gain. For he brought nothing into this world, and it's certain that we can carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, let us be there with content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which some have coveted after, which while some have coveted after, they've erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. This first letter of 1 Timothy is filled with all kinds of practical advice for Christian living. And they're described here as wholesome words. You know what it is to be wholesome, right? There's a lot of debate about foods that are wholesome, foods that aren't wholesome. But something that's wholesome, at least you know, it's supposed to be good for you, right? Healthy, nourishing, good for you. That's what the doctrines, wholesome words of Christ, good for us, nourishing to us, health to our spirit, health to our body, right? I mean, that's what we ought to be looking at. That's the kind of doctrine, things that build us up, things that make us strong, things that make us spiritually healthy. The warning in this passage that I read is concerning those who had left the teaching of practical godly living to pursue something else. And it's so easy in religion that people get sidetracked on other things rather than keeping their pursuit in just good, wholesome, healthy, godly living. Amen? This passage speaks of ones in the church that lost their focus on wholesome words and fallen into things. The one who does so is described as being proud, conceited. You know, knowledge tends to puff up, right? I mean, any knowledge tends to puff up. That's a natural tendency of knowledge. If you think you know more than anybody else in the room, you feel a little smug, right? I mean, you feel a little bit better, right? Well, it works religiously, too. People that think they are the smartest person in the room religiously tend to be puffed up. There's a kind of knowledge that puffs people up. Amen? He says, they're puffed up with this supposed knowledge, yet they're void of understanding. We need to be careful that we not get an unhealthy interest in controversies. There are controversies in Christianity to which the Bible doesn't necessarily directly address all of them. That's why they're controversies many times. Hey, if it's not necessary for good, wholesome, godly living, leave it alone. Amen? Amen? These kind of things result in envy, strife, malicious talk, evil suspicions, and constant friction between men of corrupt minds. Many people who suppose themselves to be very religious are caught up in an unhealthy pursuit of teachings that feed their own pride and their own conceit. God spoke to me. I have secret knowledge. All that's on dangerous grounds, folks. Amen? Doing battle over doctrines that don't promote godliness. Our passage describes such pursuit of men with corrupt minds who have been robbed of the truth. And that's a warning to all of us. Amen? Follow after these things. Good, wholesome, godly living. Amen? Hey, if we get that right, we'll pick up on the rest of it as we need to. Do you know that? If that's what we major in, if that's what we're looking at, the rest of it will come along. In our teaching and our preaching, our main focus should be on wholesome teaching that leads to godliness. In your personal life, keep your focus on those things that instruct us in godliness and holy living. Don't get caught up in pursuing secret knowledge or foretelling the future or solving all the controversies. Now, I didn't say we should stay away from prophecy. There's a right place and a right way to teach prophecy. Brother Chad has been teaching prophecy the right way in our adult Sunday school class. And that is showing that God knew all along and was in control as it's fulfilled, so we might correctly know where we stand in history and have confidence in the God of the Bible. But it's not for us. If we get in trouble when we start trying to say, based on that, what's going to happen tomorrow. Amen? Stay out of that. Amen? Even in our circles, everybody that's ventured there has been proven wrong so far. Amen? Well, come on, I know it to be true. Maybe you don't know enough to know that, but that is the truth. Good, godly, wholesome teaching in your personal life. Tend to those things that help us to know God and help us to live for God. There's a knowledge of a certain kind. When we think that, I call it secret knowledge, but special revelation, the knowing of the future, the solving of all the mysteries, that tends to spiritual pride. Amen? It puffs up. And I tell you, pride is the enemy of our soul. Selfishness and pride are the enemies of us making it to heaven. One of the big deceptions of Satan is the pursuit of religion for gain. It mentions it here. It says, perverse disputing men's of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing in the world, and certainly we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be there with content. But they that want to be, it says they that will be rich. What it means is they that want to be rich will fall into temptation and snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. I threw the kinds in there because that's the gist of it. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, which while some coveted after they've erred from the truth, erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. For many today, religions become a way to gain financially. For some, directly. I mean, it is a big business for many. For others, they pursue the religion to get stuff from God. It's pagan religion. You know, all the gods that the pagans had, why did they have so many different gods? Brother Chad brought this out in Egypt in our study in the Old Testament and others. Why did they have so many gods? Because each one, if you appeased them, there was something specific that you stood to gain, right? I mean, that was the idea, that you would gain benefits by appeasing them. Too many pursue their Christian life the same way. They're trying to get something from God, so they're going through the motions or doing this or doing that, so now God owes them, you know, that He's got to do this for them. They're pursuing God and the relationship with God as the pagans did, for the same reasons, to get something. Amen? As a means to gain material. And then they suppose that financial gain is a sign of God's approval. Listen, here's the truth you need to hear. Righteousness and godliness tends to prosperity. Do you hear me? Righteousness and godliness tends to prosperity. But the converse is not true. Prosperity is not a sign of godliness and righteousness. Do you hear me? I see people today that's doing well financially, and man, they think they must be on top with God, and they've drifted so far from the truth, it's not even laughable. Amen? Yes, over time, doing what's right and living for God does tend to bring the blessing of God into our life, but that isn't always an absolute truth. Amen? Amen? That isn't an absolute. There have been more poor folk go to heaven than rich folk so far, by far. the overwhelming majority of folks that's on the way to heaven have been poor, not rich, the Bible says. Jesus said, it's hard for a rich man to make it into heaven. Amen? He said, don't be fooled. Godliness with contentment is where the great gain is. That means being content with God's, what God's provided, satisfied with our relationship with God and His providing for us. He said, we didn't bring anything in the world. We come in broke. And that's the same way you're going to leave. You're going to leave broke. Somebody else may get your stuff. you may help somebody else along life's way, but you leave in the same way you came, with just yourself. Amen? So if our basic needs are met, we need to find a level of contentment in serving God. Those who have an inordinate desire to be rich is going to cause themselves a lot of sorrows and heartaches. There's nothing wrong. In fact, I think it ought to be that, especially in your young years, you ought to have some ambition to better yourself in life. Amen? I think that is a good thing, to have an ambition to better yourself. There's nothing wrong if you got an old car with wanting to be able to have a new car. There's nothing wrong if you have a house that could be better, that nothing wrong with wanting a better house. What's wrong is every time you get something, you need the next step up. You need better and better and better and better. That's what's wrong. The desire to be rich is what gets people in trouble, not the riches. It's what they do to get there. So they pierce themselves through with all kinds of trouble and temptation. And the desire is that roots all kinds of trouble and evil. I've seen people, the desire to be rich cost them their soul. Some of them have attained the riches, but what's it worth? I mean, really. Now, I got to hurry. I promised someday we'd be done by 8, so I got to hurry now. Now, back to our text. But thou, O man of God, or person of God, flee these things. Stay away from these things. And follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hath professed a good profession before many witnesses. Flee those things. Run away from them. Amen? Get away from them. When you see them operating with the people or operating in yourself, flee them. Get away from that stuff. Amen? Instead, here's what we're to pursue. Follow after or chase after. You want something to pursue? Here's what we ought to pursue. First is righteousness. Righteousness is uprightness in all of our dealings. Justice. Fairness. It's doing what's right. It's holy living in everything, all the time, everywhere. It's wanting to do what's right, all the time, everywhere, in every situation. It's a life that is pursued in doing what's right, what's just, and what's fair. Amen? As Christians, there ought to be a hatred for evil, especially in ourselves. Amen? A hatred for evil ought to start in ourselves. And we ought to want to be done with anything that isn't right, just, and fair in our own life. And pursue, live our life righteous. This ought to be one of our first and primary pursuits as a Christian. Listen to me. An experience of religion that does not result in the pursuit of righteous living is not the religion of the Bible. It's not the religion of the living God. If it doesn't result in the pursuit of righteous living, it's not the religion of the Bible. It ought to be primary in our teaching and preaching, and it ought to be primary in our living. Pursue righteousness. Amen? Pursue it in our own life. Amen? Secondly is godliness. Godliness here, the word has the idea of piety, whichever one that is, I don't know. I see smiles sometimes, I then forget which way I'm supposed to say it. But it's a reverence for God, that's what it means. Godliness is a reverence for God. But it goes beyond that. When we say somebody's a godly man, it doesn't mean they just have a reverence for, or a godly person. It doesn't mean they just have a reverence for God. It's a reverence in God that results in a conformity to the image of God in the mind of Christ. And so it's such a reverence and respect for God that it causes us to conform our mind and our actions to the image of Christ, the image of God, right? I mean, that's godliness. It's a careful observation of all God's commands that proceeds from a reverence and a love for God. It's a carefulness that's motivated by a reverence and a love for God. That's a godly person, a God-fearing person, right? These are words that a generation ago were common. You know, the highest honor you could pay somebody is say that was a God-fearing person, right? Well, what did it mean? It meant they had such a reverence for God, they were very careful in their living. Amen? Follow after godliness. Faith. Faith is a belief and a confidence in God. It's a belief and a confidence and a trust and a hope in God. Faith's an expression of our confidence in God's love and faithfulness. Faith involves the future. Those things yet unseen but hoped for. Amen? Pursue faith. Pursue a confidence of God, a confidence of the future that's based in God's love for us. I still believe true faith, which is that confidence in God's love and trust that concerns the future. That we're confident of God's love and trust and we can face the future because we have a God that's taking care of us. True faith is one of the greatest witnesses to the watching world around us. Amen? It's one of the greatest witnesses of what we have is real. Pursue faith. Pursue love. A love for God and a love for each other. Love is first a desire to please God in everything, to obey Him. But it's a love that results in actions, right? Love is known by how it behaves. Love is defined many times a day by how we feel. And true love does bring feelings, folks. True love does have feelings accompanying it, but that isn't what defines it. Love is defined, true love is defined by how it acts. 1 Corinthians 13:4, love's patient. Love's kind, doesn't envy, doesn't boast, is not proud, it's not rude, it's not self-seeking, not easily angered, keeps no record of wrongs. That's how love behaves. Follow after this. Amen. Follow after love in our life. Amen. Patience. Boy, he's hit a hard list here, hasn't he? I mean, this is follow after these things. These are things that we better follow after, because if we don't follow after and pursue them, we probably won't have much of them, will we? Amen? All these things we need to follow after. Patience is first endurance and perseverance, but it's also the enduring of provocation and delay without becoming annoyed and disturbed. Whew, that's hard, isn't it? Some of us have a hard time getting a few miles down the road without needing to exercise that. Some of us have a hard time getting in the drive-through line at a fast food without having to practice that. Amen? But there's also things to be endured for Christ's sake. There's things we must persevere through in order to make heaven our home. Pursue, follow after patience. And follow after meekness. Meekness is not exactly, but it's very similar to gentleness. Meekness, I think the best way I found it described, it's a disposition to be pleased. You know what that is? A disposition to be pleased. That means you're bent towards not being difficult, but you're bent towards being pleased. Amen? A disposition to treat everyone with politeness. Meekness. It's It's one of the effects of the Spirit's operation on our heart. True religion does not make us crabby, cranky, and sour. Amen. Now, some may be religious and be crabby, cranky, and sour, but that is not the operation of the Holy Spirit in their life. Amen. It doesn't make us self-asserting and demanding our own way. True salvation sweetens our disposition, cleanses us of an irritable disposition, makes our heart kind, gentle, meek, disposes us to make all around us as happy as possible. That's something to be followed after. Amen? Follow after these things. If we want to give ourselves to following after and pursuing things, this is what we need to be following after. This is holy living. This is righteous. These are wholesome instructions. Amen? If the body of Christ truly was given its time and attention to following after these things, can you imagine the greater impact we'd be having on the folks around us? Amen? Instead of some of the foolishness that we do chase at times? Amen? Follow after these things. Here's the result. Verse 12 in closing. It says, fight the good fight of faith. Right in this context, fleeing these things, following after these, he says, fight the good fight of faith. You know why? Because it is a struggle at times to achieve this. But he said, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. That has idea. Grasp and hold of it. Whereunto thou art called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. You know what he's saying? Continue on. Make heaven your home. Follow after these things. And by so doing, that's the way you get to heaven. That's how we make it to heaven. Amen? Follow after these things. I hear, and I know, maybe you don't see it, but I hear a lot of things in religious circles, both our circles and other circles. And I see people that are disturbed and concerned about what's going on in our world out here. Religiously, they're concerned. But the things they're doing to try and bring about a revival and bring about change are ill-focused. Amen? And the magic formula, it's getting back to God and the things of God. It's living a good, clean, wholesome Christian life. It's having the fruits of the Spirit in our life. It's pursuing a walk with God. Amen? That's the path out of this. Amen? What I preach tonight, if the people in our nation that profess to be Christians, those who profess to be called to preach, if this was the emphasis of their preaching and of their living, we would have tremendous impact in our nation. Amen? We'd have tremendous impact in society. Amen? For us, we can't affect a lot of what's going on out there, right? I mean, I have no place to stand, no voice, no audience, except us, the body of Christ here. Let's do what we can, and that means we can follow after the things that make for righteousness. Amen? We can follow after those things that help us make heaven our home. We can follow after those things. Amen? Amen. May God bless you. Pray for one another.